you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
We're certainly glad you're here. Thanks for tuning in for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's September 18th, 2012. For those of you that were tuned in yesterday, thank you, God. Co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo is in the studio with me again. And we have Dr. Gary Crosland on the phone to talk some more about the merged Gospels and some of his own personal faith journey. As mentioned yesterday, and it'll be referred to many times today, the Merged Gospels can be acquired through a donation by stopping by MergedGospels.com, MergedGospels.com. Also, if you check out my or the Great News Radio Facebook account, you can see photographs of Dr. Crosland, and also at our website, greatnewsradio.org, along with yesterday and today's broadcast, which will be archived. Reading from Matthew 22, beginning at verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Thanks, Dr. Crosland, for returning on today's edition of Mark and Friends. We just kind of had a thumbnail of some of the things you're doing, some of the fascinating discoveries you've made. You know you're Greek. You've put together the Merged Gospel, which I highly recommend to our listeners. I know Jason has been reading his edition for a couple years, and he couldn't wait to get you on the phone and to get you on the phone again after yesterday's broadcast. He was just showing me all the different things, all the post-it notes, the things that he's learned. I remember in your church study one day, you were pointing this out to me, I think, and you look at all this, Mark. Look at all this information. Yeah. Look at how he's put it together. So for those of you that missed yesterday's broadcast, Lord willing, our server is up and running and our archive program links can be accessible. You can go to greatnewsradio.org and click on our archive programs page. And I would encourage you, if you missed yesterday's broadcast, to log on and listen to it or listen to it again. Copy and paste it into an email. Send it to a friend. I have posted on our website, greatnewsradio.org, a picture of Dr. Crosland along with the book cover, and you've seen some of our Facebook postings the past few days. But we asked Dr. Crosland to join us again because I wanted to hear some of your own faith story also, because you don't just grow up at 3 and 5 and 7 saying, I want to learn Greek and I just want to start translating the scriptures and God is going to be my all in all. Wasn't there somewhat of a journey that you were on?
Mark and Jason, thanks for having me on again, and thanks for giving me the chance to talk to the Great News Radio family again another time. But let me share just a little interesting story with you. I actually had a handshake with Jesus back when I was 19 years old. Now, I call it a handshake because, in a sense, that's kind of what it was as I look back on it. I had an introduction to him. I actually gave my life and my heart to him and called him my Lord when I was 19. And I felt about 3 weeks after that the Lord had called me into the ministry. But like Jonah, I didn't go. And I went into business instead and spent 25 years in marketing. And the Lord destroyed my financial life. I was doing well financially. I had several successful businesses. And then there was a huge collapse, and the Lord just completely imploded my businesses and my ability to make money. And I found that I had to... I went to Oklahoma. I was living in Texas, and I moved to Oklahoma to take a job that they were offering me up there. But Oklahoma was a different experience for me from the Lord's standpoint, because I was a Christian in name only. I was a plastic Jesus Christian. I had worked with ministries all my life, and I had even been involved in ministries and starting churches, but I really didn't love the Lord. And a lot of people are like that. I went to seminary, studied biblical languages, and yet I had substituted my knowledge about God for my experience with him. And when I came to Oklahoma, the Lord purged me of that. I went through a scourging process like Moses in the wilderness, and it was a situation where I learned to love the Lord, and he put me into that ministry that 25 years earlier he had called me into that I had resisted, and we developed the Merged Gospels ministry. I remember a story about you remember the old singing group, the Imperials, and Bill Murray was the lead singer, and he sang songs like, Yes, Lord, I'd Rather Believe in You. He once said that he was not saved until after he left the Imperials. And I'm thinking, whoa, time out. That's my story too. Because Jesus boiled the gospel down into this. He said, the entire law and prophets becomes, in my diction, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That was his favorite scripture verse. And I did not love the Lord until I went to Oklahoma and started the Merge Gospels ministry and fell deeper and deeper in love with the Jesus who wrote these books that I had been studying for decades, and came back to Texas to launch the new phase of the Merge Gospels ministry, where we're now dealing with the secularist and the atheist community and bringing all materials to bear on that particular problem in our society.
Now, you mentioned in yesterday's program there was that, like, 4 years where you really just pulled away from the world, if you will, and just connected with God. Is this the time where you really grew in your relationship with Him?
It is. You know, I used to teach seminary, and I was teaching seminary out of the mindset of just, you know, wanting to teach. But I really didn't have that strong relationship with Christ. I had fallen away. And when I went to Oklahoma, someone discovered my background, and there was a large megachurch up there, and they had a very large class of about 150 people, and he said, would you please teach this class? And it was in the process of putting the piece of chalk back in my hand that I fell deeper and deeper in love with the person that I had been teaching people all about for years but didn't personally know in my heart. Oklahoma was a process of the Lord teaching me while I was teaching others. See, the difference between a teacher and a student in a classroom is which direction they're facing. But the teacher himself becomes the student of the Lord in that process. And that's what the Lord was doing with me. He was molding me into the shape that he wanted so that I could come back to Texas with a new spirit, not just new knowledge and new stuff in my head, but a new fire in my guts to be able to take this message into a practical realm, not just something that filled the heads of people that were my students.
Hey, Dr. Crossland, you're really spurring me. I think my wife is in the midst of reading a book by Ken Ham, and I believe Ken Ham's brother. I think it's called Almost Gone, and it's about the state of Christian universities. And I actually, this dovetails into a bunch of things that I've been reading in the last couple of days, but I wanted to read you a quote. I'm in the midst of a book called One Nation Without God by David Aikman, a Time magazine correspondent. And he had a quote in there by Albert Mohler, president of the Baptist Theological Seminary. And Albert Mohler said, as Christian morality fades, a secularized morality takes its place, fundamentally changing what we view as right and wrong to I'm always right and right.
Uh-huh.
And I would love for you maybe, because I love what you're saying, that you're saying, look, I was teaching, I was doing all these things, and I didn't love God with my whole heart yet. Sometimes I think we just because something has a Christian stamp on it, we immediately think that, hey, this guy loves God with his whole heart. And that we still maybe need to have our discernment, our antenna up. I don't know maybe what you'd like to speak to that.
Well, there are so many different flavors of what is called a Christian. And if you really want to kind of try to make a judgment call as to whether where a person actually is in their faith, look for the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at that resume of all the fruits, they're all invisible. They're all character traits. These are fruits that God cultivates from within. And they express themselves in ways that finally get out into the open, and you can make a determination, oh, this person does have love, joy, peace, patience. You can see that fruit. But just because a person knows all the lines and knows all the scripture verse and knows how to prance, it doesn't mean they love the Lord. Now, Jesus said, because somebody once asked him, how do I inherit eternal life? Whoa, press the pause button. You have the creator of the universe telling you now how to get saved. So listen to his answer. And his answer is, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second thing which comes from that, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, do that and you will live, which is Bible code for be saved. And when you think about that, then that becomes the litmus test, whether or not someone loves the Lord with all their heart. And the entire law, you know, God made things so simple by saying that, because we think of the New Testament as just adding one-third more rule to the Old Testament. But in fact, if we love the Lord, and the language of love is obedience, because he said, if you love me, you'll obey me, then that means that by obeying him and obeying what he asked us to do, we are loving him, and that's the aroma of Christ. That's how you determine. And if someone doesn't have that aroma, then they're a clanging cymbal.
Both Jason and I, we're pointing at each other. We have different things we want to say. Go ahead. I'll defer to
you. Well, I was just going to say, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that Matthew 22, 37 through 40 needs to be everybody's orientation and starting point. And it was really interesting. A Jewish friend of mine a number of years ago pointed out to me the end of that verse where it says, all the law and the prophets hang on this. And he goes, you know, he goes, and he wasn't a believer in Jesus, but he said, you know what that means? That means the first five books of Moses, everything that came after that until the 400 years of silence. And he goes, in our Jewish question and answer society, we would ask the question, who hung it there? And he goes, this verse here is the sovereignty of God, because God's the one who hung the law and the prophets there so that he could give this command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And I think that I agree with you. I think that's what we're missing badly in culture.
Yeah. And in our society today, we have people, you know, we've always had people who don't believe in God. Now we've got a group of people who don't believe that anybody should believe in God, and they're very evangelistic. They are very militant, and you can see them everywhere, and they're coming out of the woodwork, and evolution has really dignified atheism. And what people don't realize is the Gospels are so historically reliable. And most of the church doesn't know that the Gospels constitute the most reliable history in all of ancient literature. Today we are more certain about the words and deeds of Jesus than we are about any person in the ancient world. You know, I study history quite a bit. Until the time of Jesus, you never had four historians all quote the same person or cite the same event. And that didn't happen again after Jesus until the invention of mass communication, the newspaper. So the words of Jesus, we are more sure of what he said than we are of anyone. We have more documentation, 5,400 Greek manuscripts, of the words of Jesus. Now, this is interesting. A lot of people don't know this. We have three times more ancient Greek documents with the words of Jesus in them than we have of all persons in the history of the world combined. Now, you talk about evidence. You know, we are so aware of what Jesus said. We know more about what he said than anybody. There's more historic documentation for Jesus than there is of Aristotle, Muhammad, Socrates, Plato, Genghis Khan, even Shakespeare.
Yeah, I see in the, I would call them secularized evangelicals, a real attack right now on the words of Paul. I mean, I've always seen kind of the secularized evangelicals go, the Old Testament is allegory, and the Old Testament is metaphor, and the Old Testament is just this. I mean, we have to take it at that. We can't take it as literal words of God. I don't hold that view at all. But now I've really seen a rise in people now attacking the other end of it, Paul, because Paul historically, through all these documents, validates the life of Jesus.
Well, you know, the Gospels are at the very epicenter of the battle that we're now facing. Every problem in our society, I think, comes from a disbelief that Jesus is who he says he is, that he did what is written of him in the Gospels, and that what he said came out of the mouth of God. The Old Testament all points forward to Jesus. The epistles all point backward to Jesus, like a commentary of Jesus. So that makes the Gospels the very center of the battle of our society, which is what that's why I always focus on the Gospels, because that's where the whole thing starts. If those are untrue, then dominoes start to fall in both directions. So we've got to get back to whether or not Jesus actually did miracles and rose from the dead. And historically, these are the most verifiable books in all of history. And there is no documentation until at least about 150 years ago that says that it's not true. Nobody in history ever said that, no, this Jesus was just an average guy. Because the average guy, Jesus, is a person who never actually even existed. The Jewish zealot who gathered followers at the secularists say, well, he wasn't a miracle-working man. He was just a zealot who gathered a lot of, you know, people. He was a charismatic preacher. But that person is a myth, because there is no documentation anywhere in history that suggests that that Jesus ever lived. The only Jesus we ever have is the one that comes from history, the four Jewish Gospels that we have, which are the only survivable, verifiable source of history on the life and times of Jesus.
In case you're just tuning in, we have Dr. Crossland on the phone with us. He was with us yesterday, and that program, along with today's edition of Mark and Friends, is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, under the Archive Programs link. We highly recommend this book. It's called The Merged Gospels, and you can find out more at mergedgospels.com, mergedgospels.com. And I so appreciate your transparency when sharing that here you were teaching in a seminary, teaching the Bible, involved in the church, and yet not having that passionate, intimate relationship with God, knowing all about Him, knowing about His scriptures, knowing how to effectively teach it, and yet not having that personal relationship. And there may be somebody scanning the dial, tuning in, that's unfamiliar with the concept that you can have a relationship with God, that He loves you, that He cares for you. What made the difference? What had you clinging to Him and new, with new lenses on, not just teaching about Him, but knowing Him in a personal way?
Well, it started with the daunting responsibility of being given the charge to lead other people. Because I was very successful in business, but when somebody said, we want you to pick up the chalk again and to teach people about Jesus, I thought, I'm not spiritually ready for that. I've been away from Jesus for years. I've been teaching all about Him, but away from Him personally. So it really took me to my knees. And I believe in fasting. I would fast and pray a lot. But I would study the Bible now in a completely different way, not just to know about this Jesus, but to know Jesus and to realize that by reading His actual words, the red letters of the New Testament, I was assimilating His character. I wasn't studying about a man who lived 2,000 years ago, I was integrating that person into my own life and becoming a part of Jesus, becoming like a little toe or a fingernail or a ventricle in the gallbladder of Christ, whatever part of the body you want to think of me as. I was His ambassador because I was carrying His responsibility. That charge to teach people made me stop and gulp and realize I don't have the equipment to do this. I'm not ready. And yet I was thrust in the front of this big classroom, and that means that every week I had to go on a crash course to say, Lord, teach me how to love You, because I've got to love these people, and unless that love radiates off of me intact, they're going to see the false fruit. They're not going to see the true light of Jesus. They're just going to see my light, which is pales in comparison. So it was somebody saying, here's a ministry. And I had to, go back to the Lord and say, help me, I'm not prepared for this.
Well, Dr. Crossland, I wanted to highlight the book for just a minute, because like I said, my copy, well-worn, a lot of post-it notes in it, a lot of highlighting and underlining, and I've written a ton of things in there. And you've divided this up into 299 sections, or 299 little caveats in terms of the life of Jesus. And also you added something I thought that was fascinating that I've never really seen done before, at least not done in this fashion. You gave us time frames to allow us to understand where Jesus was and about what time it was.
Yeah, the way we did that is we actually went to Israel. We went to Israel 7 times, and we literally had walked off the steps of Jesus. I don't know of anybody who's ever done that, but we felt that we had to retrace His steps so that we could put together a plausible walking path and a plausible chronology for Jesus. And that kind of also helped us determine through all the other clues in Scripture. The New Testament gives us clue after clue after clue as to what time of year and what year it was and what happened and in what order. And all of that put together helped us to devise not only the time frame, but the order and the places where all these things happened.
And I noticed, too, I want to throw this out because I want people to get wildly excited about this book. I want people to go to mergedgospels.com, and I want them to purchase a copy of this book because I think that, for me, it radically changed. As a pastor and as somebody who's been to school, it's radically changed some of what how I was teaching and what I was looking at the Bible. And it did, like you said, it gave me a plausible, good chronology. I took out a map. I'm kind of a geek, too, so we're in good company here. And I took your numbers, 1 through 299, and I put them on a map. So I could get an idea of where Jesus was in each one of these times and where He spent a lot of time. Because, when I read things in the Scriptures, like at the end of the Sermon on the Mount where it says, and they were amazed by Him, I find, and then I look at the map from your writings, I found out that he spent a lot of time in one area, so they saw him doing all kinds of life. They saw him eating. They saw him go to take a nap. They saw him get up and walk around. They saw him interacting with people. And so what he taught matched his life, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was...
Well, you know, the land of Israel, we call that the fifth gospel. We have our four written gospels that tell the story from a perspective, but the land itself tells its own version of the gospel. That's why we call it the fifth gospel, because when you go over there, you read the story from that perspective, and now suddenly everything that you've ever learned in Sunday school or heard the preacher say, or when you read the Bible, you try to summon a picture of what it's like when you're there. Then you actually see what it's like, and you get that version of the story.
You're getting me all fired up. I've been over, I don't know, we haven't talked about this, but 26 times hosting groups, and I absolutely love it. In fact, we're doing a humanitarian mission trip this coming March, and we're out of time, and you're getting me all fired up. I could go on and on about just the difference it makes being in the land, seeing the terrain, the distances, the landscapes, the food, the sights, the sounds, and then having the biblical narrative read on location. There's just... no substitute, but a great way to get connected with God and with the Scriptures is through the Merged Gospels, and you can find out more at themergedgospels.com, themergedgospels.com. With us these past 2 days has been Dr. Crosland. We appreciate your time, Gary, and thanks for being a part of our morning program these 2 days and sharing about your book and sharing some of your life story.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for having me on, and thank you to the Great News Radio family for giving us a chance to tell them all about what we have done.
Well, hey, thanks for the time. When's the last time you've been over to Israel?
I just got back. It was about 5 or 6 months ago. I took a group over. I take groups over, you know, frequently. But yes, my name really is Crossland. Yes, yeah. God has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
I do take people over to the land of the cross. I'm just a big walking vanity license plate. The Lord has stamped me with an indelible window decal that tells people what I do.
Yeah, yeah. So. Oh, that's classic. That's classic. Well, thank you, and maybe we'll meet up one of these days either there or if you're ever traveling through or something, and we can put together maybe an informal meet and greet or something. You're coming through Illinois. The Burns Bed and Breakfast here can always accommodate.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Gary.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. God bless you. We'll catch you down the road.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye now.
Well, that was Dr. Gary Crosland, author of The Merged Gospels, which can be acquired for a donation at mergedgospels.com, mergedgospels.com. I love his enthusiasm for God. He's sharp, knowledgeable, enthusiastic, and a faithful follower of Jesus. May we all learn to better love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.